We're now going to have the Bible reading, which comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36.
Okay, the reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36, and it's headed the Transfiguration. But 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John and James with him and went up into a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendour, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfilment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen.
Okay, please leave your Bibles open there in Luke chapter 9. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we want to recognise how easy it is for us to hear your word preached, to hear your word read, to sing praises to you, and to miss your glory, your splendour, the majesty of who you are, of what you came to do, of your love for us, despite our constant rebellion against you. And Lord, this morning as we hear from your word, we pray that you would help us to see something of your glory, Lord. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's no secret that the year 2020 will go down in history as a year filled with unexpected and surprising events. Earlier this year, our nation was experienced fires that were raging in three or four different states. And only a little while after the fires finally were brought under control, well, the world entered a global pandemic. It's not hard to imagine those who had lost their homes and businesses in those fires earlier this year, what they would have done if they had only had have known that those fires were coming. Surely it would have drastically changed their priorities. I'm sure that many of them would have taken all sorts of precautions, while some probably would have even left those areas completely. I'm sure that those caught on the south coast in their holidaying trips in January, they would have most likely gone somewhere else had they only known that those fires would rage throughout the area. And if we had have known that a global pandemic would have had such a big effect on our nation, it certainly would have changed our priorities. I know I, for one, would have made sure to have purchased shares in Zoom. And I would have made sure to have at least a few packs of toilet paper in the back cupboard. But we didn't know, did we? No one really knew what this year would bring. But what if we'd been given a sign? I mean, we can only imagine how different things would have been if we'd only received an email or a text or some sort of message telling us that this is what this year would be like. The truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably wouldn't have believed it. If you had told me in 2019 what this year would be like, I think I would have thought that you had lost the plot. If there's anything that this year has taught us, is that we don't know what is going to happen in the next day, the next month, or the next year. And that's why it's so important for us not to miss the signs when it comes to the way of salvation. There'd be literally nothing worse than standing in front of the Lord on the day of his return and wishing that we'd only been given just one more sign. There could be nothing worse than thinking to ourselves, if only we'd known, if only we'd seen the signs. As we look at this morning's passage, may we pay close attention to this sign so that we don't find ourselves wishing that we had known, but rather that we might be inspired by the Holy Spirit to live in the light of what Jesus has done. As I was preparing for this week's message, I have to admit that I felt incredibly inadequate. Passages like these were that speak about God's glory, about Christ's glory, are incredibly daunting. The idea of conveying the glory of Christ is an incredibly challenging one. It's so easy for the concept of Christ's holiness to remain abstract, to remain purely head knowledge without ever getting to our hearts. It's so easy for us to know that this great warning sign exists without ever grasping the implications. So this morning, may we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, grasp something of Christ's holiness. May we see more of Jesus so that we might better live for him and so that we might better understand the implications of who he is. Now, on the surface, this morning's passage is incredibly strange. Jesus and a few disciples go for a walk up the hill. Jesus starts to glow. Moses and Elijah appear, and then all of a sudden there's a talking cloud. But what's going on in these verses? Well, to understand what Jesus is revealing to his people throughout the generations, we need to remind ourselves of what he'd been teaching his disciples just 8 days earlier. Jesus had been teaching his disciples that if anyone would come after me, after him, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Jesus. Jesus had warned his disciples that there was a cost to following him. He had warned them that following him was not going to be something that was easy. In fact, he was warning them that it was very likely that they would have to suffer for his name's sake, that they would have to take up their cross daily, not once, but daily, and follow him. Jesus had shown them that it would cost them to follow Christ. Now in these verses, Jesus is showing them that the reward is worth every bit of that cost. Just before Tamara and I got married, only a few months before, I had a bit of a splurge and bought my first V8 muscle car. It was a very rare and desirable Ford V8 coupe. And I really liked that car. I had it for many years. But when it came time for me to start my own business, I made the decision to sell that car to help my business get off the ground. I was committed to starting my own business. And even though I really didn't want to sell that car, I did it because I believed that the cost was worth the reward. Now, funnily enough, and many people have called me silly for selling it, but funnily enough, the value of that old car would now be worth 10 to 15 times what I sold it for. And even though I'd really love to have one of those cars again, I could never bring myself to pay what I would now have to pay for it, because I just don't believe that the reward of that desirable car is worth the cost. Everything that we seek in this life, whether material or eternal, has a cost. As I said a few weeks ago, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus is a free gift, something that Christ has given us, He has paid the cost for us, but following in his footsteps bears a cost. We must take up our cross daily and follow him. Yet the reward of taking up our cross daily is worth every bit of every cost that we will have to pay. And that's what Jesus is showing his disciples as he displays his glory in these verses. He is showing them that he is worth any price. When Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on that mountain, they were nearby while Jesus was praying or talking to God the Father. And as Jesus talked with God the Father, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Now on your NIV Bibles, you'll probably have a heading there that says the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration just means that his appearance changed drastically. In that moment, his divinity, his godness, broke out of his human incarnation. It was an awe-inspiring glimpse of his glory, something that mere words cannot describe. It's easy for us to miss the significance of this moment. But if we were there with Peter, James, and John, watching on as Jesus became as radiant and as purely white as a bolt of lightning, the only way that we would be able to respond is with fear, with reverent fear, with awe in God's presence. This is the one who every knee will bow before and every tongue will confess is Lord. On the day that all his glory is revealed, every knee will bow. From the hardest of hearts, the most adamant of atheists will bow their knee before Christ on the day of his return. Sadly, many will do it out of regret. But nevertheless, in his presence, every knee will bow. And in that moment, Peter, James, and John were given a glimpse of the glory of Christ. They are being shown that following him is worth any price. As Jesus began to shine, two men appeared in glorious splendor. Now they both shone, but they were reflections of the pure light that was coming from Christ, the one who is the light of the world. One was Moses and one was Elijah. We're not told how Peter, James, and John knew this, but somehow they did. God had given his people the law through Moses, and he had revealed his word through Elijah. These two men symbolized the law and the prophets, which was a shorthand way of talking about all of the different ways that God had revealed himself to his people through the scriptures. After the resurrection, Jesus would later explain in Luke 24 that all the law and the prophets were pointing to him. But for now, Peter, James, and John were being given a glimpse of Christ's glory as Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus. Now, verse 30 in your NIV translation says that they spoke about his departure. Now, in the NLT translation, it says his departure from this earth. Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus about his death, resurrection, and ascension when he went back to be at the right hand of the Father. And no doubt they were giving him the glory for all that was about to take place. Luke tells us that Peter, James, and John, they were tired and sleepy. They were just men. They were tired. Right up until the moment they started to see Jesus glow and these two men standing nearby. In that moment, they were struck with such a rush of adrenaline that they went from struggling to keep their eyes open, to wide awake, just as though you'd seen a car accident, something so amazing right in front of your eyes. Peter was so awestruck by what he was seeing that he never wanted to that moment to end. He never wanted to go. And so in Peter's normal sort of impetuous way, he blurted out, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I don't know about you, but I love Peter. I love the way he blurts out things. It makes me feel better about the way I do. But in that moment, he didn't even know what he was saying, Luke says. He didn't have a clue what words were coming out of his mouth. He was expressing the awe that he was experiencing as he stood in the presence of Christ. Peter was overcome by this sight of Christ's holiness, overwhelmed by this incredible experience that he was having. He just blurted out the first thing that came into his mind. While Peter was saying these words, in the middle of what he was saying, a cloud came over them. And this cloud shielded Peter, James, and John from the glory of God the Father. They wouldn't have been able to survive apart from this cloud shielding them from the glory. And a voice came from the cloud and said, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Now, hopefully those words sound quite familiar to us all, because these are very similar words that God the Father spoke at Jesus' baptism, where God the Father declared, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At Jesus' baptism, Jesus was being commissioned or sent out on his public ministry. And here on this mountain, Jesus being commissioned again, sent out on the second stage of his ministry or mission. As Jesus now begins to turn towards Jerusalem, he now begins to turn toward the cross. Once the voice in the cloud had finished speaking, it was almost, seems almost instant when you read the passage, they turned around and saw Jesus sitting alone. Moses and Elijah were no longer there. And he told them not to tell them anything about what they had seen or heard. The time would soon come for them to tell everyone what had happened on that mountain. But for now, they were told to keep these things to themselves. In this morning's passage, Jesus is showing Peter, James, and John that following him is worth any price they might have to pay. In Matthew 16, we're told that when Jesus first told Peter about his death and resurrection, Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." In that moment, Peter was horrified by the words that Jesus had just said. The idea of Jesus suffering to bring peace to mankind was too much for him to comprehend. But here in these verses, Jesus is giving Peter, James, and John a glimpse of his glory, a glimpse of the hope that they have through him. There are times in all of our walks with the Lord when we will face suffering, when we will lose our way. There are times when the pleasures of this life will rob us from the hope we have in Christ Jesus. It'll distract us from the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what our temptations and sufferings may be, as we hear these words this morning, Jesus is gently reminding us that he is worth the cost of following him. In Romans 8, verse 18, Paul, who was somebody who was very familiar, very acquainted with suffering for Christ, wrote these words. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. The Apostle Paul faced persecution and suffering from the moment that he turned to Christ to the moment that he was martyred for Christ. And yet Paul was able to say with confidence that no amount of suffering compares with the glory of the hope that we have in Christ. It is all worth it. On that mountain, Peter, James, and John were given a glimpse of the glory of Christ. The Apostle Peter would later write in his epistle to Peter, chapter 1, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place." Peter was there on that mountain, and Peter heard God the Father through those clouds. And yet Peter doesn't say, "Well, if you weren't there, if you didn't see it, then you won't really know what I'm talking about." Because Peter's experience wasn't the ultimate experience. It was an experience that was designed to point us back to God's word, back to the Holy Scriptures. He's saying, God's word is true. Take heed and listen to the warnings that God has given his people through his word. Pay attention to the signs so that our hope might be in Christ, so that we might be prepared for the day of his return. Because if our hope is in Christ, then we will never find ourselves saying, "If only we had known that Jesus was the way of salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. If only we had known that even though the road is narrow and full of suffering, it would be worth it." Compared to the infinite glory of Christ that caused Peter, the Apostle Peter, to ramble in his presence. And the same glory that those who trust in Jesus will be able to enjoy forever, taking up our cross daily and following him is an incredibly small price to pay indeed. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you that in your great mercy and love, you sent your one and only Son, the one you love. Lord, we thank you that while we were still sinners, you sent Christ to come and willingly die for us. Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts a greater understanding of your glory, that we would understand the cost, the price that our salvation has cost you, so that we might understand the wondrous nature of your mercy and love for your people. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.